Krista improve rapidly. Teresa's not here tonight. She doesn't feel well, so I just thought I'd tell that before we get started here. Let's start out with number 22. 2:2. All the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each swathing path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Through my weary step may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me His promise, in my Father's house above. When my spirit floating mortal wings its flight to end of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. 55. Beyond this land of parting. Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses, darkening this, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond so fair and bright, land beyond where is no night, summer land, what is its light? Oh, happy summer land of bliss. Beyond this land of toiling, sowing and reaping, far beyond the shadows, darkening this, and far beyond the sighing, moaning and weeping, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond, so fair and bright, land beyond, where is no night, summer land, what is its light? Oh, happy summer land of bliss. Beyond this land of waiting, seeking and sighing, far beyond the sorrows, darkening this, and far beyond the pain and sickness and dying, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond, so fair and bright, land beyond, where is no night, summer land, what is its like? Oh, happy summer land of bliss.
David, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Just want to give a quick update. For some of you, you may know that Krista came up after fellowship meal and requested that James take her to the ER. And so she's having kidney stone issues. And so she's back home now, so that's good. So we want to mention Krista now and then in our individual prayers, okay? Let's all go to God in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this evening service where we can come and worship you, Father, to sing these songs to your name's honor and glory, to encourage one another through them as well, Father. Father, we're thankful for this avenue of prayer that allows us to communicate with the Creator of the universe. What a wonderful thing that is, Father, to be able to commune with you and to let you know what's on our hearts, Father. Help us, Father, as we have this period of worship tonight, help us to grow our strength, to grow our faith, for that faith to be put into action as we leave this evening, Father. Father, we ask your blessing upon Sister Krista. We know that she's battled these kidney stones many times, Father, and it's a continual hindrance for her, and we pray for her pain relief, and Father, that if she does have stones, that they might come out naturally and as rapidly as possible, Father. We ask, Father, for your blessing to continue upon our shut-ins. Had an update on many of those today, and we're thankful that they're doing as well as they can, Father, but we pray, Father, for their health and their spirit to be strong to where they can be once again with us. And Father, if that's not possible, we just continue to pray for their spiritual strength, that we might be an encouragement to them. Father, we also pray for this program that we're going through on evangelism. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for Brother Whitaker and the other brothers that have put this program together. Help us, Father, to each of us to find an area that we can participate, and let us participate wholeheartedly, Father. And we know that where your will is and where effort is put in your name, that it flourishes, Father. And so we pray that for ourselves here and for those, Father, we might come in contact with. We pray that we might be able to find souls that are seeking, that we can help them put aside preconceived notions and they can look truly to your word. For, as Brother Whitaker says, the word is what converts people. And help us, Father, to be people of your word. Help us to be Bible believers, Bible livers, and Bible speakers. And help us to do that in the love of Jesus. And we know that much good would come of it. Bless us now, Father, throughout the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. At this time, I'd like for you to mark 197, 197. That will be our song of invitation after our lesson. Have thine own way, Lord. No, James Miller this morning mentioned in his class, and I'm going to share this with everybody, about we sing songs. We sing them to praise God, but we also sing them to communicate to one another, to help uplift one another, to help us guide our fellow Christians, our brothers and our sisters. And I believe this is song here. I was thinking about this when I picked this out, but this is the perfect way, or one of the perfect ways, to communicate with each other and our Lord. 273, I know the Lord will find a way. And with saying that, we already know he will, but we have to put that effort out. Not only do we have to put the effort out, our brothers and sisters also need to help us put that effort out to help us when we struggle.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, turn the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord has found a way for me. Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say, well
Very appropriate song, I think, to lead into the lesson tonight. We can know that we are saved and going to heaven. I think there's a lot of times people say, are you going to go to heaven? Well, I hope so, maybe, you know, whatever, but God wants us to know that we are saved in Him and that we will be going to heaven. There are always conditions, and I think it's important that we look at these as well. As we move forward, we can know if we obey Him. Our text tonight is all from 1 John, so you can follow along in your translations if you want. You can also follow along with me on the screen, so you know where I'm at. It says we know that in 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commandments. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God loves is truly made complete. This is how we know that we are in him. There's a lot of passages, over 100 times the word know is used in 1 John, so that we can know that we are in him and walk with him and live in him. But there is also a lot of ifs here also. In other words, there's a lot of conditions that go along with what God is calling us to be. We have come to know Him, what? If we obey His commandments. People don't want the conditions. This is what we're talking about here, is that God promises us these things if we follow the conditions that He has set out for us to live in Him. And the conditions are not to punish us, but to help us along the road and to help us along the way. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. You see, there's another condition along the same way. If we say we know him, but don't do his commands, then we're not following him. We're not living by the truth. We're not living what is right before God. So we need to understand that as we step out to live and to walk with God, we need to realize these conditions that God has set before us to guide us along the way. Verse 5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Again, if anyone obeys his word. Now, what does that say to us? What does that say to us each day and every day that we live? If we want to do what God wants, if we do what God wants, God is going to bless us. It's kind of like a parent saying to a child, you know, clean up your room and we'll go do something special. Well, there's a condition. The parents want to take the child and do something special, but they need to do something about it to be able to go on that trip. God is trying to guide us and help us to grow up and to mature and to be what God wants us to be. And then finally, in this verse, this is how we know that we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. It goes, we can refer back if you want to 1 John, and we don't have that scripture on the screen tonight, but 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, His blood continually cleanses us from all sins. And that's what we want, right? But there's that condition that if we walk in Him, walk in the light, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Then we have to ask ourselves, are we walking as Jesus did? Are we living like Jesus did? Are we walking in the light? That's what it means to walk in the light of Jesus Christ, is to walk as Jesus walked, that we must. And when we see this word, this is not like, if you like it, if you'd like to do it, maybe this feels good to you, or you think that might be a way to go. No. Must is an imperative. It's something that we have to do if we want to be right with God. We can know if God's word remains in us. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son of the Father. And this is what He promised to us, even eternal life. Well, what's the reward and what's the cost? If you've heard it, what we should remain in Christ, right? You know that we should remain in Him. What? If it does remain, you also will remain in the Son. In other words, if it's like in one ear and out the other, and you say, well, that sounds good, but you don't live it, then what's that doing as far as our relationship with God is concerned? Our relationship with what God wants to do. He wants it to remain. If it does remain in us, then we will do what God is going to fulfill His promise for us, which is eternal life. God wants us to be with Him, but God also wants us to be in Him, remain in Him, and be apart with Him. We can know Him if we continue in Him, not just remaining in Him, but continuing in Him as well. 1 John chapter 2, 28 and 29. And now, dear brethren, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. You know, as Jesus has said, He was the same today, yesterday, and forever. God wants us that same way. We come to Him, we're here, we came to Him, we're living in Him. He wants us to be in Him forever. In Revelations, it says, faithful unto death. And so that is our call, to continue in Him and remain faithful in Him. That if we do that, I like this phrase, we may be confident and unashamed. That means that we can know about our relationship with God before Him at His coming. So when He comes, we know that we are ready for Him to receive us up to the clouds of heaven. Verse 29, if you know that He is righteous. Do we know that God is righteous? Amen. That Jesus Christ is righteous? If we know that He is righteous, and you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. Now that's a good news, isn't it? So God is righteous, and if we abide in Him, if we do what is right, then we can know that we're going to be with God. Now, as I was mentioned in our men's meeting today, there was only one man that was completely righteous and completely perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. We know that He is the right way to do those things. He is righteous. There's no question, no doubt about that. The question is how are we living with Him? How do we know what is right? Well, what He's been talking about already, remaining in Him, walking with Him, being right with Him, so that we can be right with God to do what is right. When we read the Word of God, we do it because it's the right thing for us to do. We can know we belong to the truth. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. What is love? Jesus said, if you love Me, you lay down your life for me. He says, I have laid down my life for you. Will you lay down your life for me? Remember that we are not our own, right? We belong to him. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And so the cost is that he's laid down his life. This is what we ought to do. Lay down our lives not only for him, but it says what? Lay down for our brothers. How far are we to go to battle for each other? How far are we willing to stand up, and should we stand up for our brothers? If we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to stand up for them. We're going to defend their rights. We're going to defend what is right. We're going to support them. We're going to encourage them. I mean, that's the second greatest command, isn't it? To love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second greatest command that Jesus said. And so if that's so, what does that mean? It means I'm going to be willing not only to lay down my life for Christ. That means if I lay down my life for Christ, I should be willing to lay down my life for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and see his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This idea is not just in the book of James, is it? Of course, it's very much in the book of James, because it's very one of the main themes of the book of James, is that we do, we act, we live upon what we're called to do. But if we see someone in need, we need to meet that need, right then and right there and right now if we can. And it's so easy to get caught up in our own way of life, own things that we're doing, that we look over those things. But we need to look into people's needs and not over people's needs and try to help them. Let us not love it with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. In James it says, be strong and be well fed. You know, don't just say that, right? But you've got to do something about it. And that's what God is calling us to do. Then in verse 19, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. How do you know that you belong to the truth? You don't overlook people that you are brothers and sisters that you're supposed to love and that you're supposed to care for. It's not a matter of just saying be well, be good and well fed, you know, but it's a matter of taking care of it and trying to help out, that we take care of people. We can know we have confidence before God. 1 John chapter 3 again. Verses 21 through 24. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive him from him anything that we ask. Other words, if we're doing what God wants us to do, then our hearts should not condemn us. We should know that we're doing the right thing. And if we do the right thing for people, we have confidence that, well, remember what Jesus said when he's talking about those in Matthew chapter 25 that would be right and go to heaven, those that feed the poor, clothe the naked, they, you know, and so on, that he lists there, those things there. And they said, well, Lord, we haven't done these things for you. And Jesus said what? If you've done it for the least of these, you've done it to me. And of course, we know that that's not the only conditions to get to heaven. Because we talk about it, we see the Bible, we read the full context, but it's one of the things that Jesus says is really important that we do that. And then if we are doing that for others, then he says this is a part of the blessing, is that we're going to receive from him anything that we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Okay, so how do we know? It's because we obey his commands and do what pleases God. We want to please God, right? Amen. We want to do what God wants for us. We know what we should follow after God's will, and we want to please him. We want to please, in a sense, don't we really want to please each other? I mean, I don't know about you, but I was pleased, overwhelmed by that feast that we had today. That was very pleasing. I was surprised, and I didn't ask. I'm glad I found out now. But who made a cake that says, Happy Birthday, Doug, on it? I mean, that was nice. It meant a lot to me. Not just that, but the whole fellowship. That was the biggest potluck we've had of people, I think, since I've been here. And it was just a really good time together. A real good blessing. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we're blessed, right? That we bless each other. Now, we can know that we're pleasing God and that we'll receive from Him anything that we ask. What? If we keep His commandments. The commandment that He's talking about here is to believe in the name of His Son and to love one another as He commanded us. That's not so tough. I mean, there's other commandments we know that are in the Bible for us. But again, it comes back to those two basic commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We know that. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the commands that God has given to us for us to follow. But it all starts, I mean, it doesn't do any good if we do all those good deeds if we don't believe in Him. We don't trust Him. We don't follow Him. And we know that in the Bible, anytime it's talking about belief or talking about faith, it's talking about what we do with what we believe. And that's what this passage, all these passages are talking about. It's a matter of doing, acting upon our faith before God as we follow His commandments and do what pleases Him. Verse 24, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that He gave us. If we are obeying His commands, we're going to live and abide in Him. There's so many things in life that want to distract us from that, that want us to take us away from that. Whether it's things that we do, things that we see, illness can be something that can really take us away if we're not careful. We just need to trust Him. And this is how we know. Do you see that again? He has said that to us over and over again. This is how we know that He lives in us. And we know that one of the passages that says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, do not quench the Spirit, or do not put out the Spirit's fire. You see, if we know that, but that, how do we quench out the Spirit or put out the Spirit's fire? By not doing what God wants, but not following His commands, by not loving as He wants us to do. But if we're following Him, following His commands, doing what pleases Him, not us, pleases Him, then we can know. It's just such an impression. I want to know that when Jesus comes again, that I'm ready to go to be with Him. Or when I die, that I know that I'm willing, ready to be with Him. There was a young woman, and I don't know all the background of it, that I saw on Facebook. She looked like she was maybe in her early 20s. And it was written by a Christian brother about this girl, young woman, and she had, I believe, cancer. But she had just a few days, maybe hours yet to live. And they said that when they were with her, she said, I want you all to be at peace because I know where I'm going. I know that I'm right with God. I know I'm going to be with God. Don't you want your days to be like that?
Yes.
That assurance, that peace, that confidence that we can know. God wants us to know. God wants us to know we're His, that we belong to Him, and that we can be ready to go home with Him. We can know God if we love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. This book is really a book of repetition in many ways. You've seen how many times already that He has told us that we should love one another, right? And we see again that repetition, it means this is really important, that we love one another. For love comes from God. It starts from God. And we're told also that everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And so it's all a matter of, how do I define that? Well, we've been talking about that, haven't we? If I see a brother or sister in need, I meet it. If I see someone struggling, I care for them. If someone is hurting, I comfort them. Do good to all men, but what? Especially to the household of faith. God wants us to reach out to one another, and our life is compassion for the lost, yes. And we know that's really important. But it starts with the family of God. If we start inviting people in here to come and be a part with us, and they don't see the love that we have for one another, what are their thoughts going to be? Well, I don't want to be a part of that group. And so they need to see the love that we have for one another and care for one another. Everyone has loved, has been born of God and knows God. If you want to be with God and you want to know, this is how we do it. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It goes ahead and tells us in John also that, you see, we cannot say that I love you, I love God, if I don't love my brother. If I don't love my brother, it means I don't love God. So it's, in a way, it starts with that. Of course, we accept God's love, but the way we show love to God is by showing love to one another. This is how we know then that we love God and that we love others. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Again, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commandments. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Commands is said there how many? Three times, right? Three times in that, those two verses. This is how we know. Love God, keep His commands. This is verse 3. This is the love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Now, if in the Old Testament, I would say that it was a way for the people to show love by keeping the Old Testament, by keeping the commands that they had. But there were so many commands and they were so hard. I mean, you mess up and you're unclean for 7 days, or unclean for whatever, you know, you might be. And you couldn't go in the temple, you couldn't worship, you couldn't offer a sacrifice. It was just so hard. But you see, we as Christians can have that day-to-day contact with God all the time. Yes, we're going to mess up, but how many times can we go to God and talk to Him? Any time. We can go to God and ask Him for all the blessings that He has for us. We can ask Him for forgiveness. We can ask Him for guidance as we walk with God. And notice this last phrase, the commands are not burdensome. They're not meant to be a burden to you. Remember what Jesus said, my yoke is light, right? He says, my yoke is light upon me. So we can know God is going to be a yoke. There's going to be responsibilities that we have. But it's not to bear us down. It's to lift us up so that we can know how to walk with God. We can know, therefore, of our salvation when we obey God's commands. I think that's been pretty evident in the scriptures that we've looked at tonight. When we obey God's commands, we can know of our salvation. When we walk as Jesus walked, and you say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. Walk as He walked. What does He do? Look to Jesus and see what He did about this situation or that situation. How did He treat people? How did He treat those that oppressed Him? He loved them. Yes, He taught them. Sometimes He rebuked them. But the idea is that, am I want to live like Jesus lived? We need to walk as Jesus walked. Excuse me. God's Word remains in us, and we are in Him. So when God's Word comes to us, comes into us, we keep it in us. We don't let it go in one ear and out the other. And we will remain in Him. His Word remains in us, we remain in God. We continue in Him, we will have confidence. There's a song that we sang as a kids camp, really simple. I have confidence, I know the Lord is going to be with me. I have confidence. And we just sing that repeat over and over again. But it's important for us to have confidence in God, because God is going to keep His word and His promise. We can know our salvation when we belong to the truth, when we freely give ourselves to our brothers and sisters. A part of us abiding in the truth and living for God is that we abide in our brothers and sisters, that we freely give ourselves to them. When we obey His commands, we have confidence as well. And we love others and love God, we know that our salvation is secure in Christ. Now you know, and you've seen all the way through this lesson, that there is conditions for knowing that we are in Christ. But God gives us those conditions so we can know what He expects of us and how to live. Knowing God does have conditions. Those conditions are there to help us to be the Christians that God wants us to be. God wants us to be His children, and He wants to show us how and become what God wants us to be so we can be that same person in heaven when we get there. To know God and to have the best life that He has planned for us. To be sure of eternity so that we can know, will you obey God and walk with Him for the rest of your life? And come to Him now as together we stand and sing.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way. Wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power of powers, surely is thine.
Just to make sure, is there anybody here that has not had the opportunity to take of the Lord's Supper? I thought everybody's here this morning. Let's keep in mind all the individuals that's been mentioned this evening, especially with Krista and the issues that she's having right now. If you haven't had kidney stones, they are very, very painful. Especially if it's prolonged after a long period of time, which this has been going on for a while. So let's not forget all those that are on our prayer list and the ones that are homebound, and let's continue to encourage them that are homebound to come and be with us once again if they're able. Is there any other announcements that needs made tonight that I'm not aware of? If not, Charles, will you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another Lord's Day and the opportunity to come together again tonight. Pray for those fathers who don't attend services and Bible study and don't know what they're missing. Pray for all you blessed souls that have been missed tonight. Christy, she's having kidney stone. We pray, Father, that they'll be passed regularly and she'll be at peace. That your best James, he stands by her at this time. We pray, Father, for our teachers and students and bus drivers tomorrow as they go about their daily activities. Pray your best Christy, Michaela, and Christy as they go about their activities, everything will be fine. Be with us as we go through this life and help us to always be faithful. Forgive our sin, Father, give us a good week, and bless those, Father, who do their daily jobs that they might be saved. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
I might have to write a note. I know of that. Okay. me their address and I'll send them to
them. No, they tell me that.
Well, I'll fax you there.